Welcome to Activate Yourself with Gita Sidhu Rob, where we feature otherwise normal people who, because of events in their life, have turned left and done unusual, inspiring, incredible things, like build a business, become a happiness expert, marry a prince, create an empire, or like your host, set up a health and wellness business, Nosh Detox. Here's your host, Gita Sidhu Rob.
Hi, everybody. My name is Gita Sidhu Rob, and this is Activate Yourself. And as I always, always, always say, I'm so grateful that you are joining me because this show is here for me to have fun and hopefully to entertain you and for you to meet some interesting, exciting people because the world has some insanely awesome people. And my job is to bring them here for you, to inspire you, to make you feel amazing, and above all, to help you to understand that no matter where you are today, have faith, the universe is going to whack you in the face, make you turn left and totally change your life. And that is not a bad thing. And honestly, how much more on point can it possibly be when you think about the pandemic? I am here today because I thought, oh my God, I made a plan. God laughed. Nothing happened. It all went sideways. And it was the best thing that ever happened to me. And I actually remember someone saying to me, it will be the best thing that ever happens to you. I did slap him. But you know, that's that. And here we all are today because it was a really good thing. He just was a bit precipitous in explaining this to me. So, you know, there. So today's guest is a really amazing woman. And I kind of had this 30-second conversation. Went, oh, you please come on as a guest. Please come on as a guest. And I was like, just have the conversation on air. Okay. So today is the wonderful Diane Hoffman. Now, you see, Diane told me to not say Hoffman, to say Hoffman. But, you know, we're British, so we do say Hoffman because that's the A, and here we all are, but I'll try and say Hoffman. She was an undercover cop for the San Diego Police Department. And I mean, that in itself, I mean, I just want to start talking to her so that we can work out what happened after that. Because now what she does is she has incredible workshops that are dedicated to helping women entrepreneurs really live a better life than the ones that we currently do. Because a lot of stuff has to be better than what we currently do. So I'm just going to let Diane talk. Welcome, Diane.
Oh, Gita, thank you so much for having me. I always love chatting with you.
Yeah, it was so exciting. So undercover police cop. I mean, sweetie, listen, looking at you, I don't know how you got undercover anywhere. You're so distinctive and you stand out so much. How, what, where?
Well, that's actually worked in my favor because when people would walk down the street, they wouldn't look at me and go cop, right? So, you know, there was a rare amount of time that I would get my cover blown. And so that actually helped me. In fact, when I would be in uniform and then let's say that night or whatever, I'm undercover. And especially when I worked undercover prostitution, because I went under as a prostitute because we were hunting a serial killer. And so when people would see me, they wouldn't, you know, when they see a uniform, that's all they see is the uniform. And when my hair is down and I'm in heels and I'm wearing next to nothing, they don't see that as the same person. So you literally, you can kind of move around in the night and they don't know you're the same person.
Yeah, but okay, can we talk about fear? I mean, you must have had such a strong sense of being able to look after yourself, not to mention the strong sense of injustice that you want to overcome. But oh my God, I mean, like, I just want to sit in a corner quivering.
Well, you know, it's one of those things where fear is, you know, as you move closer to fearful situations and you survive them, then you start kind of building this bank of courage and understanding and knowing that you can do things. So anytime somebody goes through hard things, notice how you never go through hard things the same way again, because once you've gone through those things, you're like, okay, I've done that. And so now when you look at things, you look at them with renewed strength, with a different set of tools. There's different ways to look at that. Now, when I first started with the police department, I hadn't even held a gun before. So, you know, it was all the training and all the things that I did on the department. You know, I was able to, you do under stressful situations, revert to your training. So it's like anything, when you practice it, when you have the skills, that gives you a bank of knowledge and things to do, but then you have to rely on in the moment, right?
Yeah.
And so when it's things happen
reflexes,
in the moment,
your instincts.
Yeah, you have to go with those instincts. And so the more you trust that and the more you lean into that, the more that you can dissipate fear.
I love that. Because I have to say, one of my pet hates in life, my absolute bloody, biggest bloody, bloody, bloody pet hate is when people talk about resilience. I always want to slap someone because it's been a lot of slapping already in this conversation, but there's just a place where resilience implies I'm waiting for you to come, the world's going to hit me again. Whereas strength for me is when you overcome the things that you felt vulnerable and weak and helpless in and have learned it, because strength to me is somehow encoded into your system and it makes you a better, bigger, stronger version of yourself. So I'm really grateful that you didn't use the word resilience. In fact, I'm going to interview guests in the future. Anyone who uses the word resilience anyway, I'm not having on. That's just, So what were the really amazing things that happened to you as an undercover? But also, does this not also mean that you just look at the world really differently? I spent a lot of time in my adult life in the media. So in my house, there's a standing joke. Well, it must be true, it was in the papers. Because clearly it's not true because it's in the papers, right? And we just look at it completely differently because once they've done it to you, you know they'll do it to anyone, right? So What is it in your world, in your lexicon of understanding that is so totally different to everybody else's?
Well, first of all, the purpose of media is, and just in general, is usually programming, right? They're programming their agenda. And, you know, usually if there is, you notice how they have like a hook of like, wait and come back to the explosion that's happened in the world or the next variant that's coming and all these things that lead to like, oh, I can't miss that. Or, you know, a lot of times we call it fear porn, right? It's like, oh, that's so... Yeah. You know, frightful out there that, you know, I have to listen to what's going on, and people get glued and they get just like any addiction, they get addicted to the next piece of information that's going to tell them how to live their life. And so if anything in being, you know, a police officer and particularly undercover is what I notice is what's happening in the media and what's actually happening on the street and what's happening with people are not necessarily the same thing. Right? And usually it's a grain of truth, right? Most things have a grain of truth, but it's not the full truth. And when you start relying and living your life based on if somebody tells you you have to, you know, stay in the house or you have to wear a mask or you have to do all those things, you're living what they want you to do and you're not checking in with yourself. And I can guarantee at this point, hopefully people are starting to wake up and go like, I may not be being told the whole truth. There may be something off of what's being said in the world. And so you have to be able to be investigative yourself, be your own cop, right? And start looking at what is really true for me and how do you want to actually live your life? And notice like when you go on vacation and you're not plugged in to all of the, you know, the sky is falling. I like to call it the Chicken Little, how relaxed you feel, how, you know, you start listening to yourself, you start living the life that you actually want to live. And as soon as you plug into that matrix of craziness, you start second guessing yourself. You start feeling fearful. Stress. You start listening to that doesn't serve you.
Yeah, completely. Because it actually, the level of stress and stress is, this is something I talk about with my clients all the time, because stress always affects you on three core levels. It's your sleep, your hormones, and your digestion. And those three, that's why when you go on holiday, you can actually eat and drink more than you ever could if you're at home. And you can come back not 20 pounds heavier because you've digested and enjoyed. And it's been in a stress-free environment. It's a really interesting thing. So actually, I think we need to go down the rabbit hole. I'm sorry about this, but really, it's just too freaking irresistible. I always feel like there's an agenda. Can we talk conspiracy theories here, please, for a moment? No, we have to. I promise we're going to talk really other stuff soon. Conspiracy theories. I mean, there just has, what the heck is actually going on?
Right. Well, so here's the thing, you know, it's again, that's a media term that typically comes out as conspiracy theory, that which I can guarantee you a lot of people who are listening to this, you know, they're going to react in one way or the other when they hear that. They're going to be like, oh, lean in, I want to hear more. Or they're going to be like, oh, that's completely not true. You know, they're going to, you know, they completely dismiss. There's something in your brain where you turn off when you hear that, like, oh, well, this is just, you know, fabrication that's happening. I always invite people is instead of when you hear conspiracy theory, look a little bit deeper. Everything that you want to have information on, you can find. You can, we are, one of the things that's kind of like the curse and the blessing of the internet is that you can look far enough and beyond enough pages where you start seeing a trend of things and you start looking at where's the truth in it, right? And you be right. investigative in that way. And you don't take just the, you know, snippets that come from the media. You want to go, okay, what are they not sharing? What is, you know, what are other resources you can look at? And you start doing that investigative aspect for yourself.
But how
and
do you find judge, out what's the truth. How do you judge, sorry to interrupt, how do you judge the quality of the information you're being given? Because it's so derided on so many levels.
Right.
How do you judge that? Because, you know, it's so interesting that the world is so incredibly divided at the moment. And that Absolutely. You can't have basic conversations about anything. Like growing up, my son was very, very, we have these three vaccinations we give babies when they're 1 month old. And one of them, the whooping cough vaccination, has a protein, which my son was massively allergic to. And somebody wrote a book about me a while ago as part of an anthology. And in it, I talk about the fact that my son was allergic to this protein of vaccination, you know, and then the kids grew up and they were vaccinated when they were older and all the stuff. But I'm looking at that now. If that conversation came out today, I'd have a label saying anti-vaxxer and it would be a really big problem. Whereas, you know, everybody in the family is vaccinated. And so that's not the conversation. The conversation is still allowed to be my son was allergic to this protein in this one vaccination. But I don't even feel like I can say that. Well, I'm saying it now, but I don't feel, but this is my platform, right? But I feel uncomfortable about that as a conversation. So how do Right. we get corralled into these places as communities? What is going on?
Right, right. Well, first of all, you have to look at who is in your circle and who are you listening to? That's the most important thing is who you're listening to. Are you listening to someone that is spewing fear and, you know, you should be afraid of every variant and everything that comes on? You know, our body was divinely made. Our body can heal anything. Anything the body comes across, it can actually heal. If you look at, you know, they call it practicing medicine because they haven't necessarily figured it out. And when you give it, you know, when you give your body something, you got to look at, is it actually making your body strong? Is it building your immune system? Or is it just, you know, breaking you down? You know, in the U.S., you look at the population, you know, now it's almost everybody, but over, you know, 60, 70, they're on like 20 medications. And a lot of times if you ask them, they don't Yes. even know what these medications are for. No, and a lot of times they had a side effect to the original one and then they gave them something else. And then now they have got this kind of thing. If you listen to any of the commercials, they have like a laundry list of side effects. And when you think of what some of those side effects are, do they outweigh what that the thing was supposed to do to actually support people? And I think instead of saying, you know, you're pro or anti-vax, how about let's be pro information? How about let's look at what's in these things? You know, how does it affect the body? You know, why is there such a global push for these things to be happening when it's so new that you don't know some of the side effects? Why are the, you know, there's lots of things like VAERS and that show you side effects and things that are happening. And, you know, those are growing every single day that the people that are having more side effects. And there's papers out there that show, hey, these are the possible side effects and they are happening. When you look at something that has like a 99% recovery rate, why would you put yourself in a pool of having all these other symptoms, especially young people and children who are now coming up with heart conditions and blood clots and all these other things? You have to weigh this out for yourself and be able to look at what's the benefit of your family. So circling back into your son, when you know that your son has, you know, some sort of reaction to something, that's where the mama bear comes out and go, this is not for my child. It's not for everyone. Everyone has to look at what is going on with their own body and be able to make those choices. Why would you want to delegate that to somebody else and have them be able to make those choices for you? Yeah. It's very easy to be able to look at the research and people don't have all of the information. What happened to HIPAA laws and things where your medical, you know, well-being and what you decided between you and your own doctor or you being your own doctor to be able to make those decisions? And it's interesting when it comes to like the politicians and, you know, people don't realize that a lot of these, you know, CDT and all these different, you know, types of, you know, alphabet organizations, they aren't necessarily even government. They're private business and they're there to make money. And yeah, so you've got to look at what is their agenda around that. And that's where we as citizens of the world need to be like, okay, great. You have a product out there. I get to choose whether I use your product or not.
Thank you very much. We'll be back in very short while.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
How good are vitamin C supplements? Usually only a small proportion of vitamin C actually reaches your cells and has a positive effect. Whereas the high absorption levels of Goldman Laboratories liposomal vitamin C help maintain optimal vitamin C levels in your body and strengthen your immune system. Now get 10% off when you choose Goldman Laboratories liposomal vitamin C capsules. Just quote 10 off at goldmanlaboratories.com.
Do you suffer from pain? B-Cure Laser, a home-use CE-approved medical device for the effective treatment of pain, is now available in the UK. The results of a double-blind trial has shown that B-Cure Laser offers a significant reduction in pain compared to the placebo group. To get your special B-Cure offer now, call free on 0808 501 5122 or Google Radio Pro London. B-Cure Laser. B-Cure Laser.
The station that makes you feel good.
Amazing. We're back here with Diane Huffman, who is an undercover police. You were an undercover cop, basically. And so you were out there constantly fighting for justice, fighting for a place where you were trying to make the world a better place for everybody. There's a place where when I'm listening to you talk about how we need to make our own decisions and our own judgments, it's very interesting to me that there's been such an interesting place where the world has divided, where the views about this are so polarized. So in America, there's a very definite line. It's a very you are or you aren't, you know, and it feels like it's divided politically, it's divided ethically, morally, all the way kind of down the road. And you could, okay, so the Democrats think this and the Republicans think this. So therefore, if you're an anti-vaxxer or you're this or you're that, you're a Republican. I mean, I'm generalizing obviously massively. Right. And if you're a Democrat, you believe in looking after the people and the vaccine mandates and everything. And it's really, really become a political exercise, especially in the Senate House and things like that. So in this country, we haven't quite got that. We haven't quite got in the fact where it's a political and emotional divide. But what I did find very interesting about the pandemic is that we are really seeing incredible sort of things that used to be hidden really coming up to earth, you know, or visibility, because places that things like, if you look at Jeffrey Epstein, for example, who's somebody that I have looked at with absolute horror and watched and heard how he got away with what he was doing, you then look around and you're like, there's literally a cabal where the richest can do anything that they want and no one can stop them. How did you find that and feel about that being when you were working as a cop?
Well, first of all, you know, I've been retired for many years. And so, you know, I utilize those skills in, you know, when I'm consulting and having people look at, you know, how it is that they can stand in their power, how they can listen to themselves. And so for me, when, you know, going back to what you're saying about the great divide, let's just talk about that. You know, first of all, where did that come from? So you want to start being curious. You want to start asking yourself questions. And you just want to start going, okay, if I was an observer and I wasn't identifying as either of those things, and you were looking at how do I want to be as a human being? How do I want to move around? And who's dividing us, right? And so, because if you talk
to people, gains from dividing us, really?
Right, right. And so if you look at historically, you know, these are all constructs, you know, whether it's Democrat, you know, Republican, black, white, you know, gender, religion, all of these things are dividing. They've made it more dividing lines versus people's choosing to live in a certain way. If you strip all of those things away, all the things that divide us, there are actually more things that we have in common in terms of we want to live a good life, right? You want to have,
we
wish well for our family, right?
Yeah.
We want to have good health, right? So if we go down to the basic things that humans want to have, there are more connection things that are going on than there is not. But we don't see that because if you look at the media, which is, as we know, is controlled by a handful of people, that they can play both sides of the fence and by dividing people.
All of them white men. Actually, all of them
right.
Women.
Right. And so, you know, what's interesting about that is, again, you follow the money. You look at who benefits from this. Well, you know, if you've got people who are sick and or there's a projection fear of being sick and people are now not only getting, you know, choosing vaccines, but boosters. And now you are a lifelong client to their ideas of medicine and things that work for your body.
I never thought of that.
Right.
Oh my
They're
God,
looking for
true.
Lifelong clients. Right? So asking yourself these kind of questions, what happens and how, so if they keep people fighting over, you know, day-to-day type things, then they have to then look at, oh, well, we must need government, or we must need medicine, or we need to look outside of ourselves to be able to answer these questions. If you had people who, and interesting how all the censorship that's coming right now, who knows the level of censorship that's going to come, you know, with us just talking right now and people having an opinion about what's being said. Mm-hmm. So instead of personally attacking the people or having the conversations, you want to ask them, why do you feel that way? You know, why is it that, you know, tell me more, right? You want to lean in and have a deeper conversation versus just automatically, oh, that person's crazy or that person's a conspiracy theory, you know?
But hang on, let me stop you there for a moment, because actually I have been thinking about in terms of censorship about this conversation, and it's just tough because we're having it. Because my mother, who's 87, about 7 years ago, got given statins. And I'm not a doctor. I'm in the health business, but I'm not a doctor. And I was like, Mommy, you can't take statins. They're so incredibly bad for you. And she went, no. He's going to give me statins. And of course, she's my mother, so she didn't listen to me. Good old Indian women mothers. So she took the statins. 6 months, six months on the statins, she started to have really severe side effects. She went back to the doctor and he gave her a pill for the side effects. 7 months into it, she had another side effect. She had problems with her deep vein thrombosis, something with her. She went back, took another pill for that. And she came to me at the end of the year and she's like, oh my God, I have literally been, I went from zero pills to seven pills in 12 months. And she was just, and I was like, I told you not to take them. And she was like, yeah, but I thought that's what I had to do. And I was like, well, I don't know how to help you. You're my mother and you're still doing this. And you have access to, you know. And it was just the most terrifying thing because she didn't even see or know. And if we hadn't been in the place that we were in, where my mother has always looked to her health, has always eaten well, has always looked after herself, my mother would now be in a wheelchair. But just from one single decision she made, because she became a lifetime customer because of that medicine. I have never thought of it like that based on what you said.
Right.
I am just not a big fan of Big Pharma. Mm-hmm. I'm not a fan of Big Pharma on any level. But
right.
It just dovetails into exactly what you said. And I sort of have never made that connection before.
Right.
So I'm slightly shocked. So, yeah.
Well, and you got to look at it too, is that, you know, doctors who are trained, they, first of all, they're influenced, right, by different representatives of, here, try this medicine, or, you know, try, you know, look at this. And they don't necessarily look at, okay, we know what some of the side effects are, but does that actually address the thing that is happening with someone? You know, it's like, oh, you can't sleep, take this. It's like, you can't, you know, oh, you want to lose weight, take this. It's like, there's all these things, instead of looking at what's changed in your life, right? You know, is there stress associated with it? You know enough about the body to know how does it react? What does it do? And so you want to look at when most medications, in fact, taking just one medication, it suppresses some area of your body. So then it starts reacting in a different way. And then, you know, you're going to have other type symptoms that come up, right? Yeah. And so you got to be able to look at that in terms of, you know, there's also kind of this God complex of thinking like, you know, doctors know everything and you have to trust everything. And especially with our parents, it's like, well, my doctor said, right? Well, you know, a lot of times doctors, they only get like 8 hours of like nutrition, right? Because they have to learn a whole body of information. And a lot of it is generalization, general practice. One of the things I like to ask is, how healthy is your doctor? Right. So why don't you start looking at, is your doctor smoking? Is your doctor 50 pounds overweight? Is your doctor, you know, how's your doctor living their life?
To be fair, here we have, there is a plethora of doctors that we can go to that say things like, well, let's try and understand this. And they will have conversations about this. And so that's something that I deeply value because I don't like the deification of medicine, but I wanna acquit a lot of the doctors that I've met because I know that they came into it wanting to do good. They have worked incredibly hard over the last couple of years trying to do good, and they're in a place where they feel like they're caught between a rock and a hard place because they just don't know. You have to take on when you have 4 minutes to make a decision, and someone comes and goes, "Here's a solution." You think, "Wow, how many people can I help?" And so there are many people that do come from that place, and I have seen that myself. And then there are people that don't give a shit, to be fair, as well.
But that's like everything, right? That's like everything. Like, I mean, even with police officers, right? You know, you've got most of them that go out there to help people, and then there's always going to be a few people that are going to be like, "What? How are they making their decisions? What's it look like?" I think people in the medical field, regardless of whether it's, you know, Western, alternative, you know, whatever that is, they originally, hopefully, went in to help people, and they're hard workers. I mean, nursing and all of those people, it's like they want to help people.
Yeah.
But you got to look at who are they answering to. We're starting to see a lot more videos of people going, "Hey, I came here to help people, and I'm not sure what's going on." You know, what's going on with kickbacks, and people are making decisions based on finances that are coming in, whether it's big pharma versus government, all those things. That muddies the water on whether or not they're doing things for people's health or they're doing it for budget.
The American healthcare system is a truly, truly, truly terrifying place. It honestly is absolutely the most appalling excuse for a Western civilization to have as a healthcare. It just is the worst system I've ever seen in my life. On that great note, we'll be back in a minute. And what I want to talk to you about when we come back is what you do to help people feel powerful, which I can't wait to find out more about.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Galar Light is the quantum energy emitted from the universe, from the sun and stars. Now, Tom Palladino, a humanitarian and Scalar Light researcher, has created the world's only Scalar Light healing system, a system that can bring long-distance healing and wellness to humans, pets, and plants via a photograph. Get your free 15-day trial now at scalarlight.com or click on the Scalar Light banner on the UK Health Radio website.
Shields like masks are top of mind right now, but did you know you have inner armor working constantly to protect you from pathogens? It keeps you healthy and thriving. It's your immune system. Ion Gut triggers the body's natural ability to support gut strength all year long, so your immune system can protect you when you need it the most. How are you treating your inner armor? Visit uk.ionbiome.com to learn more. Ion Gut. Protect what protects you.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Thank you so much. We're here with Diane Huffman. And see, I nearly said that right. Tell me about you, because what you do is you've taken this amazing amount of knowledge, this incredible level of strength that you've built together, and you've taken what's actually generally a very masculine profession, and yet you show up as this incredibly feminine woman, and you're using these skills to help women entrepreneurs. Tell me more about that, to feel more powerful.
Oh, thank you. So one of the things is that people typically look outside of themselves. Like we were just talking about, you know, we just happened to use the topic about like medical, but it could be about anything, you know, about when you're always looking outside of yourself for the answers, that starts diluting trusting yourself and knowing that you actually have answers within yourself. So I learned a lot of that undercover where, you know, in the moment, like we talked about some of the, you know, terrifying moments and having to make quick decisions.
I didn't have time
to deliberate, right? I didn't have time to go, well, let's weigh it out or let's look at these different things. So one of the things that I help, you know, women in particular, but I do also work with men, but women tend to defer to other people, right? Because they want everyone to, you know, get along or, you know, they want to a lot of times stand out. But one of the things that you can really look at is, you know, knowing what your own values are, knowing what is important to you and having that be a baseline in making your decisions, right? We can gather knowledge throughout our whole life and that is a great thing to be able to do. But in the moment of making decisions, you got to trust your knowing, right? That's your intuition, right? That's not the time to deliberate. That's the time to act. That's the time to move forward with that. And so a lot of times, you know, a lot of my clients who either own their business or they run teams or they have these things happen, when it comes down to it, they sometimes will second guess their decisions. Or even though they can make the quick decisions, they'll maybe, you know, in their mind, they'll go, well, I could have made this decision, right? You know, they worry about it. And so part of what I help them do is that to realize that they made the best decision in that moment. If they need to make adjustments, they can make those adjustments. But it's better to be able to look at a situation, make that decision, and keep moving forward, right? Because you already have done the homework. You've already done the life work of going, this is what I stand for. This is the values of my company. These are the things that we do. And we make decisions based on those things.
Oh,
so you're already assuming that you are looking at those things. And so when you're making that decision, you're keeping those things in mind. And, you know, as you know, in business, you're not, everyone's not going to be happy about that. And, you know, but when they know that you care about them, you care about, you know, what you're providing to people, that you're showing up in that way, they're going to know that you came from a place of a, you know, a good heart and good decisions and making things, you know, work and happen. So I help people just really know what do they stand for? What are their values? And trusting that inner knowing of who they are. And now more than ever, you don't want to be looking outside of yourself. You do the knowledge, you gather the information, you listen to a lot of different perspectives, right? And you start seeing what lines up, what makes sense for me, and start trusting within yourself that you're making decisions from that place versus that place of fear and second guessing. And your brain thinks differently when you're in that fearful place. You don't have the space to make good, clear decisions. So you want to be able to ground yourself, know where you're coming from, make a decision from that place.
I love that, because what you're basically saying there is that if you can trust who you are and you're connected with yourself, then you should also trust that the decisions that you make instinctively are going to be the right decisions. And also there's something that you just said that was so clever. Make the damn decision and change it if you have to. You can, yes. There's literally so few decisions that are literally absolutely irrevocably unchangeable. There really are very, very few. And even those, you can have hues of change that you can apply to them. And they will have a different shade and they'll act differently and they'll behave differently because you'd apply different things to them, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you have to, you know, we interact with people, right? And so we want to be able to look at, you know, what if they're arguing about something or they're having concerns or they're fearful, you have to ask them like, okay, what's driving that? Like, what's behind that? A lot of times when people are arguing about things, I always say, you know, we don't need a revolution. We need an evolution, right? We need to just be able.
I was just going to say that, because evolution.
We don't need to be
slow.
In this fighting place, right? We need to be like, please tell me more about why does that make you fearful, right? You know, and people be like, you know, in any type of thing, they'll come up with all these fearful things that aren't necessarily from a place of logic, right? They'll come from a place of emotion because they were triggered and they think that something's going to happen to their family, their income, their health, you know, there's that. But if you take that away and go, okay, let's just ask some more questions, right? Let's do a little bit more, you know, diving into this. And I mean, regardless of what side people are on things, like, you know, using the example around like health, you know, if you have a conversation, people just want to lead healthy, clear lives. They may be interpreting them in a different way, but if you can get to that baseline of go, okay, what are we looking at? Are we, you know, how can we have a conversation that we can actually hear each other, right? That we're not just throwing out there the fear language that's happening. You want to ground yourself and know that, because I know that there's a lot of people right now that they'll hear certain things that are happening in the world and they'll maybe feel like they have to comply with certain things, but inside in their heart, they're like, this isn't making us healthy, or this isn't moving us forward, or this isn't how I wanted to raise my children, right? And so then you ask yourself those deeper questions. And when we are in a place where we're having dialogue, and this is one of the things I love about podcasts, about people just having conversations, I hope people are out there going, I want to look up something. I want to check something out for myself, or, okay, I might agree with some of this, but I don't have full answers about this. We want to spark that curiosity so that people start really getting clear about what they know within themselves that other people aren't necessarily telling them.
And also, though, that's one thing that I found was an actual benefit of the pandemic. I think what it's done is it's forced us to step up and think, well, what do I want to do? How do I want to live? And even in our family, like I'm someone that says, well, you know what? I think we should travel. I think we should take all the safeguards because I don't come from here. You know, I live here. This is my home, but I don't come from here. So in order for me to see any member of my family, I have to, well, apart from my mother who lives three streets down and doesn't listen to me, any other member, I have to travel. Like I have to go on a plane to go somewhere. And it's like so many of my staff. So do you just go, no? Or do you think, well, this is something that I need and it matters to me and it refuels. I remember just landing in the place where I come from and like my petrol tank got refilled. It was the most insanely beautiful, calming, powerful experience. And I was like, God, I have missed being here, you know? And I would never not do that. Whereas I have members of my family who are just like, I have closed myself up at the beginning of COVID and I am not coming out till it's done. I'm like, you're going to be there for the next 15 years. So, you know, and so you have to, it's so interesting also as a parent, because you have to allow that within your family for people to feel what they want to feel. But it's a struggle, it must be said.
Right. Well, I think one of the things that we have to just keep in mind is, you know, what is your mindset about life in general? Like, is life something to be fearful about or is life to be lived? And, you know, there's always been viruses. There's always, you know, our bodies overcome so many different things. I always say I don't participate in the pandemic, right? I'm like, I live my life. I still am serving people. I still spend time with my family. I travel. I do all the things that I do. I don't wear a mask. I don't do any of those things. You know, it's so funny. Like this is kind of like one of the newest things coming up in California. Like, oh, there's a new lockdown or a new mask mandate or whatever. Okay. Well, it's not, it's a memo. It's not a law. You can't enforce, you know, a memo, right? It's all suggestion. And, you know, it's interesting the conversations where it's like, oh, well, you do it for other people. Well, you know, or you're being selfish or there's all these, it's interesting, all of the words and that all comes down to fear. And where do they get that? You know, do they check in to see how, if you know how viruses work, I mean, and if you know, if you've done everything for your own immune system, it's like, there's so much contradictions in that where it's like, you know, people will say, oh, well, I'm going to wear my mask for health, but yet they are smoking or they're not taking care of themselves. They're not doing the things that we know that help for health, right?
I feel like that about
you know, it even says that on the mask box, it says does not help against viruses. It's like, well, why is everyone in the world wearing them? You know, it's like these deeper questions.
Oh, it does? I didn't even know that.
It does. It does nothing for that. It does nothing
but
for that.
I feel like that about aging. I feel like, you know, before you go and get the Botox and the fillers and the plumped up lips and the this and the that, there are like 20 things that you could do before you get there, which would make you feel more powerful, more put together and better. And how about we do those things first and then we do the other things? Wow. Diane, thank you so much. How does everybody find you?
Well, you can go to my website, which is dianehaffman.com. There are sections in there. You can listen to my podcast as well, Live Your Spa Life. You can hear that on there. Also on all the different social media platforms. So if you have any questions, feel free to send me a private message. And I'm happy to help in any way. I do want to, one of the things I do like to bring awareness to is human trafficking. That came a lot from the undercover work that I worked. And I think that there's a lot of research that people can do around that to see how we can support children. So I have a give back page on my website to give people some more awareness around some of the organizations that help children.
I'm so pleased. Thank you for highlighting that. Thank you so much for coming on, actually. It really was not at all the conversation I was expecting, but it was absolutely a conversation that was of our times and necessary. And I'm really grateful you gave me that opportunity. Dian Haffman, who is absolutely amazing. Thank you for having been my guest. My name is Geeta Sidhu-Rob, and this is Activate Yourself. And I have a feeling you felt very activated through that conversation. So I wish you the best, and I will be with you again soon. Please join me again next time.
Thank you so much for joining us. Our goal was to give you pause, make you think about your life, and inspire you to say, wow, what if I tried to do that? If they can do it, so can I. Did it work? Let us know by finding us on social media at Geeta Sidhu Rob or at Nosh Detox. We upload new shows every 2 weeks here. And if you start to miss us, check us out on YouTube.